Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Dr. Ava is also a student national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
You have not melted into this melting pot yet. This country was not made for the brown. It was not made for the yellow. It was not made for the red Indian. And it certainly was not made from the black. So you're going to have to come to the realization that the death or murder of Trayvon was a nail in the coffin of white supremacy. Our people are rising, but you don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. But this has gone on in every generation. It's telling us that we're living in a society where we will never get the justice that God wants for us. We will never find the equity that God wants for us, nor the freedom. We have to separate. We have to find a path. And America, you have to let the black man go. So on that seal, on the first side, you see a woman holding an even balance, the sign of justice. Another woman holding a spear. And then on the back, you see rays from a pillar of fire in a cloud with a beam of light coming down on Moses. Pharaoh sitting in an open chariot, a crown on his head and a sword in his hand, passing through the divided waters of the Red Sea in pursuit of the children of Israel. Moses is standing on the shore, extending his hand over the sea, causing it to overwhelm Pharaoh. And the motto is, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. And so, my brothers and sisters, we now have to rebel against these tyrants. And we have to understand that our time has come.
The Elevated Places call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevated places. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. As we're waiting for Dr. Ava, we want to welcome you to Elevated Places. I think we're just having a little issues for 1 second, so just hold on for our host, Dr. Ava Muhammad. You are tuned in to Elevated Places. Dr. Ava, are you there? We will get her on shortly. I know that we're excited. We want to thank everyone for coming on to Elevated Places. I am her co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, and we're here tonight, and we want to make sure that everybody gets called in early or call in early to 347-324-5091, area code 347-324-5091, and you are listening to Elevated Places, and I'm waiting to make sure that our sister gets back on, because we do want to hear from our powerful host, Dr. Ava Muhammad. And once again, I want to see if she's on. I know we have our sister LaDonna, technical specialist, working on that right now to make sure that we don't have any interference with our sister getting on the line.
And Brother Terrence, you might want to go ahead and give us the news while we're waiting on Dr. Ava.
Well, I will do that, and I would want to say we thank you, Dr. Ridgely, our elevated contributor, for being on the call. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaykum salam, sir. Ramadan Mubarak.
And Ramadan Kareem. And to all the Muslims who are fasting, make sure that we give all that we can in these last days of Ramadan. These are those last hours, these are last days coming up, the night of power. So we want to make the best of these last and closing days of Ramadan. So as Dr. Ridgely said,
assalamu alaikum.
And there she goes.
Well, I'm on my cell phone, so inshallah I will be able to stay on. I don't know what happened. I was just completely sent into space. And thank you, Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. I'll join you.
Well, you know, we want to first thank our host, Dr. Ava Muhammad, for coming on. We could not do this show without her. And one of the things I want to first mention, as we were speaking right before the show, she was right down on 79th at the Final Call newspaper building, where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan used to teach in the early days. Those were some of the classic 3 to 4 hour lectures by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, where we're going back into the community where we have the beautiful Salam restaurant in Chicago on 79th, and it's the place, the palace of the people. And you need to go check that out. But also the Final Call newspaper building, the number one newspaper in the world. Our dear sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, was there with the soldiers that came out from Chicago as this conversation of violence in the community, the FOI, are going out in the community all across the nation. But our sister, Dr. Ava, spoke last night in Chicago, and brothers accepted the life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and they saw the shining example of what Islam can do for the black man and woman, and especially the elevation of the woman in the Nation of Islam by the wonderful and beautiful teaching of Dr. Ava Muhammad last night. And one of the things the brother said that stayed in his mind when Dr. Ava said, "How many cows can there be?" And Dr. Ridgely can appreciate that when she talked about how many cows does it take to make all of the burgers that McDonald's claim that they have served, and the people that they have served were all the burgers. It's not that many cows on the planet. So what are you and what are we really eating?
Come on.
So I just had to say that was very funny. But all of
them have very real.
Yeah.
Sure. I know one time they were promoting earthworms as a filler. It was back in 1970s, but I don't know if they're still doing that. Go ahead.
All right, earthworms.
That was probably an upgrade over what they're doing now.
Well, I'm just so happy that I'm a vegetarian and I don't have to worry about that. But I do want to mention also to let everyone know that our wonderful sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, will be one of the presenters at the 9th Annual Singles Retreat back at Camp Kitsawa from August 22nd through the 25th. She will be there with our brother Nuri Muhammad, and you can definitely check that out for the registered members. Make sure we are getting and having families getting married. So the NOISingles.org or healthrelations.com, but you can go to NOI.org to learn more. And we never want to forget the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Time and What Must Be Done series, as you heard a clip. It comes on every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, The Time and What Must Be Done. You can go to NOI.org/The Time. NOI.org/The Time. I did want to just bring up a few things. I want to encourage people to remember to get onto the Ramadan prayer line. Go to RamadanPrayerLine.com to get the number. But also to go see the movie Fruitvale Station, the story of Oscar Grant.
Absolutely.
As I was just with the brother Ryan Krugler, who's 26 years old, with him in Philadelphia, and the powerful words that he talked about. He's the writer and director of the movie. It's a very powerful, very good movie that gives a backdrop of what took place on Oscar Grant. And last night I was on a national call held by the president of the Hip Hop Caucus, Reverend Lennox Yearwood, one of our former guests on the show. And we had our sister Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon Martin's mother, Uncle Bobby, Oscar, Oscar Grant's uncle, commentating, hip-hop commentator David D and artist Raheem Devine, and it was talking about the issues of Trayvon Martin, the issues of Oscar Grant, and the issues that are going on in our black community. And as Uncle Bobby said, we're not getting any justice in America. As the minister talked about the nail in white supremacy, we must be like the children of Israel and tell Pharaoh to let their people go. And David D talked about making sure that we have the right kind of news and not lean our ear to mainstream news to find out what's going on in our communities. That's why the Final Call newspaper is so important. And Raheem Devine called upon the artists, the hip-hop artists, the R&B artists, to use their voice to shout out against injustice, use their platforms to stand up for truth, justice, and to do the things that's necessary. As we were watching the Dream Defenders in Florida, and they had a visit by Harry Belafonte, and they had a visit from Jesse Jackson down at the Capitol, the governor's mansion, or state capitol, or wherever it may be, I can't remember, in Florida, but the Dream Defenders, my brother Phil Agnew down there. And lastly, North Carolina is getting a lot of heat from the mobilization of Moral Mondays here in the state, dealing with the suppression of voter rights, the suppression of women's rights, the suppression of the underpaid education, paid of teachers in education, and all the other things that are going on in the state. So we, the overall theme of Elevated Places has been separation, and as we see the death of Trayvon, the death of Oscar Grant, the death of Sean Bell, the imprisonment and unjustly jailing of Marissa Alexander, stand your ground laws in all of these states. We must get on this show and listen to Elevated Place. And now I'm going to turn it back over to our host, Dr. Ava Muhammad. You can call in right now at 347-324-5091 to get your mind elevated, because this is the right place to be.
Did he take a
breath? All praises due to Allah.
Did he take a breath?
he may not have, you know, that the mothership has its own atmosphere, so the breathing capacity of those who experience it is probably much greater than those of us who are just stuck here in the hells of North America. But, you know, shortly, of course, family, we are Elevated Places family. We're going to be joined by one of the most brilliant scholars on the planet, and we are already experiencing queuing up of callers, and don't hesitate to call in and join this discussion. We look forward to hearing everyone's perspective. But Dr. Wesley Muhammad will be joining us tonight, and several of you have asked on the program and via email about getting his insight on the Trayvon Martin case, the Zimmerman verdict, the response of our people to the verdict. And he, along with other members of the Nation of Islam research team, are continuing to provide brilliant analysis and insight that can be found every week in the Final Call newspaper. So if you want to really be aligned with the time that we are living in, the time and what must be done, being delivered by Minister Farrakhan, please read the Final Call newspaper, because the printed word has a different effect on the mind from the oral. Both are powerful and have their own effect. But to go into the Final Call newspaper each week and be able to review and feed on what Minister Farrakhan is giving us in the time and what must be done. It is fascinating, it is powerful, and above all, it's true. Dr. Ridgely, we're going to be bringing Dr. Wesley in shortly. You and I had a conversation the other day, and it really gave me much to ponder over, and I actually opened up with it at the final call last night at the Wednesday meeting. And that is the issue of the number of black people who are fearful in the wake of the Zimmerman verdict. They know its implications.
Yes.
And they fear the response of our people. They fear backlash. And you were sharing with me some views on that that I wanted to get from you before we go further into the program.
Well, you know, many of us in the nation, because we don't eat meat and we don't eat pork, we don't, and we believe that there's a God who has a powerful plane that can protect us, we don't know what fear is like. But our people who do not believe in our God, and they believe in the white man's God, and now the white man is showing his fangs, and they are frightened. That some of them are angry, others are frightened because they just don't know what to do. And they know what we are saying is true. One of my customers drove up to me with when I was telling her the final call. She said, y'all know this was going to happen, didn't y'all? Yes, we did. You know, but now what are we going to do? And we have to, like Minister Farrakhan said in that clip, that our people, they're upset, they are aroused, but they just don't know what to do. And
right.
Now it is time. Minister Farrakhan is 80 years old, and like Moses didn't go to Pharaoh until Moses was 80, and now Minister Farrakhan is going strongly to the Pharaoh who's sitting in the seat to let my people go. And now we must let the white man go, because definitely he has no place for us to go with him except to death as he falls and takes us with him. And we cannot be victims of the evil shepherd playing these games to get these white boys and girls to beat up on us to hide the fact that this is the 100th anniversary of the Federal Reserve, and the so-called Jews are taking all these Gentiles' money. So now they're sicking them on us. So we have to be wise and follow the one that has power over mankind and the enemy of both. And that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Master Farad Muhammad.
Yes, sir. And you know, as the minister said, yes, sir.
Go ahead.
No, I cut you off. I apologize.
No. I was just going to jump in. The significance
sure.
of we need to add up all these numbers, and I'm not the one. You know, one day we have Mother Tynetta to break down some of these numbers because,
yes.
as Dr. Richard said, 100 years of the ADL, Federal Reserve, FBI, and we're looking at 150
right.
years of emancipation, 50 years of the March on Washington, but
that's
also
right.
I just realized 50 years from the killing of Emmett Till in 1955. You know, so, not 50 years, but August 28th, the commemoration of the March on Washington was the same year that Emmett killed, the same day that Emmett Till was killed. As we're looking 50 years from the March on Washington, I think it was August 28th, 1955, that Emmett Till was killed. And I say that as we're looking at, you know, 50 years, we're going to have the commemoration with the National Action Network and Martin Luther King III all having an APRI, National Urban League, are coming to D.C., to march on Washington, but this march is not like the Million Man March, and this march is once again saying redeem the dream, and they're fighting for jobs, and they're still going to Pharaoh to find a way that they can find help within a system that, as Mr. said, has let them go. So we're almost as though the Elijah and Baal, you know, you call on your God and I'll call on my God. You know, you ask your God to integrate and I ask my God to separate. and we'll see which one is the winner or which one will survive under this rule or rule under our righteous God and our own nation with our own people, because we have not as of yet, since we've been in America, seen any justice. As I went to a conference last year, Take Back America, and it was 2012, and I asked the question, from 2012 or from 1555 to 2012, what part of Take Back America ever had a just system or freedom of justice and equality for the black men in America? I don't know where we can take back that was something good for us.
That's exactly right. And as was said by the minister in the excerpt that Brother Bobby Muhammad provided for us, that he selected and Sister LaDonna uploaded for us, that is such a key point that the minister is making, that we have not melted into the melting pot, which is right. What America likes to call herself. But she's simply making reference to the various strains of European whites. It's a melting pot for the Irish and the Germans and the French and the Italians. And as he said, not brown, not yellow, not red, and absolutely not black.
Mm.
And the realization, and as I gave the history of the state of Florida the other week,
yes,
to warn us about this practice we have, this emotional cloak we like to cover ourselves with, and we act as though each one of these atrocities is an isolated event. And
right.
As the minister said in that clip, this has gone on in every generation.
That's right.
Every generation since we have been here. And in the same issue of the Final Call, August 6th, read the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's, the article lifted from Message to the Black Man, where he talks about preachers and politicians and profession members of the professional class. And he says there are thousands and tens of thousands of American so-called Negroes, and in those tens of thousands are such professional and educated class of people as preachers, ministers of the white man's Christianity, even scientists, scholars of many kinds and technicians of all kinds who have become submerged into the love and worship of the white race because of advantages. They
That's
preach
right.
the gospel of being an American citizen. They worship equally their intermarriage with white Americans who have used black women from the time they were brought here 400 years ago until this very day. And he goes on with some profound declarations about the sellouts among us.
Mm.
And I'm bringing that up as a prelude to Dr. Wesley coming on, because we now have to have our own scholars.
That's right.
Among us to give to our people a true analysis and assessment of what is going on. And you have so many, what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote in Message to the Black Man is even more timely right now than it was in 1965. Because
right.
you have all of these talking heads on television, radio, and all of them are following the script that we need to overturn Stand Your Ground. They're saying that out of fear.
More.
Because we don't need to overturn Stand Your Ground. We need to separate.
That's right.
Laws
That's right.
don't kill people. That was a white man who tried to pull a race card and say, I'm Hispanic. But you ask his mother what she perceives herself to be, because Hispanic is not a race. But Stand Your Ground was never Zimmerman's defense.
That's right.
Trayvon was not killed because of Stand Your Ground. Stand Your Ground was simply a mechanism for George Zimmerman to walk out of the court. Because even though Zimmerman's lawyer never raised it, the juror, the white juror, who spoke out initially, used the phrase stand your ground. So they used it in the verdict. But the point is, all of the talking heads and so-called leaders and activists are avoiding the real issue, which is a race issue.
That's right.
Only Minister Farrakhan is telling us the real, true solution, which is to get away from them. Nothing we do will ever change our essential relationship. The only solution is to separate. And so these people have really become an impediment. And all of this, like Brother Terrence is saying, gathering to ask for jobs.
Come on.
Moses did not say, let my people vote, let my people work. He said, let my people go.
That's
Minister
right.
Farrakhan is that central figure among us today. And so we need another viewpoint other than the one we're getting. And I'm going to open the line now, and I'm just thankful to Allah as we come to the end of Ramadan that Brother Dr. Wesley Muhammad has taken time from his busy schedule to join us this evening, the preeminent scholar on religion. And religion is a, you know, it's a term that Dr. Wesley, I'm sure, will take that apart. But just for the purposes of radio, we'll say religion. But if you have not read his books, if you have not heard from him, then I have to say, you just haven't lived yet. So you're in for an awakening tonight.
Oh,
and this panel now with Dr. Wesley, Dr. Rizvi, Brother Terrence, I'm just ready to sit back and enjoy myself. So, assalamu alaikum, Dr. Wesley.
Wa alaikum salam and Ramadan Mubarak, Sister Dr. Ava, Brother Terrence, Dr. Rizvi, and all the young staff. I'm honored to be back, Dr. Ava. I'm always honored.
Ramadan Kareem.
The soldier
this
with you
is a
intellectually
blessing.
And otherwise.
Well, I tell you, beloved, not only is the panel excited, but the whole Elevated Places team, our IT specialist, program director, and we're all fired up to have you on. And the callers are on. There's so many, I can't even see. I can't even see the end of the list. But you are, I would have to say, our number one guest in terms of popularity. Not that that is your goal in life, but
no, I just look a lot better next to you. That's all that is. my swag on your show is derivative, Dr. Ava, and I'm happy with that.
So, Dr. Ava, I got an issue. I'm looking at a flyer that talks about the Night of Power tomorrow in Chicago. So it's the Night of Power tomorrow in Chicago at 8 p.m. at Mons Maryam, or it's going to be tonight on Elevated Places. So have we shifted the Night of Power? Is it the Night of Power tonight? And we have an Iftar, or is it tomorrow? I don't know. Because, you know, Dr. Wesley,
praise the Lord.
I love that.
So I don't know which Night of Power it is. So since we're talking about Islamic scholars and religion, Dr. Wesley, you got to help me. Are you bringing the Night of Power in tonight or what?
Oh, not I, but I concur. Dr. Ava's show is a place of power. Every time, you know, Dr., my personal opinion now and has always been, Dr. Ava is one of, to be politically correct, but in truth, to me, the best representative of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that I know. So every time she's on, that's a Night of Power.
Paul, praise the Lord.
I don't think any of us represent that man as well and what he represents.
That's right.
As well as you, Dr. Ava.
That's correct.
Paul,
that's absolutely correct.
Whoa, yes, sir. Well, Brother Wesley, we need to start out getting your take on the Zimmerman verdict, the acquittal, by
yes,
this all-female, 5 white, 1 black. I mean, she calls herself Puerto Rican, and I don't know that to be a race or ethnic designation, because
right.
they're white Puerto Ricans, black Puerto Ricans, you know. So
absolutely.
For whatever reason, they're evading the fact that you have one black. But
yes.
I know you have some thoughts on what's going on with that case, and the people are anxious to hear from you on that.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, you know, Dr. Ava, the way you put it down a couple of weeks ago, there's not much else that can be said. The way you contextualize the verdict in the history of Florida was profound. Now, the singular point that you have been making before the verdict, and as a consequence, this verdict highlights the point, it's separation or it's death. The fact of the matter is that jury has sent the message that
That's
white
right.
folks have a license to kill
That's
our
right.
sons. There was nothing,
right.
there's no amount of boycotting, there's no amount of protesting that would change, as you said, Dr. Ava, the essential nature of the relationship between black and white in this country. There is no amount of people that can be put in office in America at any level that will change the essential nature of the relationship, and that will rescind that license that was just given to white folks to kill our sons. So the only option for black people, and this is the great and dreadful day, it's a day of decisions for black people. Separate or die. The process of separation begins with, as I said, in Dallas, Texas, join the Nation of Islam.
Yes, sir. Well, you're bringing it right down to the only solution now. I guess there's no more invitation and come back.
Right.
See what
the reason
think.
I say join the FOI, if I could elaborate, you know, there's a lot of anger.
Please.
And there's a lot of talking about get back. There's a lot of talking of no justice, no peace. So all of our black revolutionaries are posturing in front of cameras with guns and weapons. The anger is good. The desire, the thirst for justice for Trayvon Martin and his family is legitimate. But anger, as necessary and helpful as it is, it's insufficient. With the anger, you need training. If you want to be a part of the exacting of justice, you need to join the FOI. The scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
That's right.
Vengeance and justice is that of God, but God is a man, and God is men, plural. So we bear witness that justice should and will be delivered. But if you want to be a part of that process, you need to join the FOI in the MGT. Be in an army under the guidance of God through his man, the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan. Get the training and then wait for God's orders and then move out.
And that's correct, Brother Wesley, because you know usually you have an army for defensive purposes to defend your community. But we don't have
yes,
community because we don't want community. We want to integrate
Absolutely.
And be dispersed amongst the enemy. And then how can we have protection? How can we protect our women if our women are not in our community? How can we protect
Absolutely.
Our children if our children are not in our community? Trayvon was in
Absolutely.
A mixed community. You know,
Absolutely.
When we have a community, then we can set up guards on the borders to protect it. But without a community,
Absolutely.
How can we protect every woman, man, and child from a perverted killer who's lurking in the dark, all dispersed amongst us? We must
Absolutely.
Set up a line of defense by having be on one side of defense that and the other, instead of straddling the fence, getting shot down.
Absolutely.
And we have to be clear that the line of defense that you're speaking of, Dr. Ridgely, does not consist of angry black men with guns. Without training and without divine leadership and guidance, that is no legitimate line of defense. So let's stop posturing. You know, the whole Django thing is play. It was fun at the time, but it's play. The fact of the matter is, guns without training and divine guidance would just bring more chaos.
That's right. There's a union to start civil war amongst self the way they've done all over the world. We got to have the mindset. The mindset.
Absolutely.
That only Mr. Farrakhan can give us. We need wisdom at this time.
Absolutely.
All praise is due to Allah. We've got people lining up, so I'm going to intermittently take calls so we don't have a pile of disappointed and possibly angry callers at the end if we don't get to them. And, of course, I love this. Our first person on the line is Dr. Salam, and he's joining us with a comment. As-salamu alaykum, Ramadan Mubarak, Dr. Salam.
Wa alaikum salam and Ramadan Kareem to the family. Oh, it's so good to have the brother on.
awesome.
This is just a perfect time. What I wanted to say is that the state of mind of black people is in a terrible place. Black people love what white people love, and they hate what white people hate.
Yes, sir.
Right. Does that make – it doesn't make sense, but do you feel that any? That's just a question.
I observe what you observe. Yes, sir.
Right. Okay. And black people love other than self, and they hate self. So that is the condition of our people. But one of the things that came up in a conference that I was in dealing with human rights, and I presented this, was citizenship. We consider ourselves citizens, but the dictionaries, the encyclopedia, and from the book that's in Washington that someone shared with me that I don't think I supposed to have seen, and evidently I had to see it because Allah guided me in that way. But listen to the word and definition of a citizen. In their definition of a citizen, in the white man's book, it says formerly a native or inhabitant, especially a freeman or burgess of a town or city. Loosely speaking, a native inhabitant of any place. The second definition is a member of a state or nation, especially one with a republican form of government who owes allegiance to it by birth and or naturalization and is now an American citizen. We use these words so loosely that we are a citizen and we have voting rights and all of these things, while Satan is saying, no, you don't. So it hurt me when books were taken out of school. And now these young people are on tablets, iPods, and they are getting loose papers, and they are on the internet. That's technology, but that's a dumbing down among a people who's already oppressed. So the only way, the only solution is what you all have said earlier, the Nation of Islam, the MGT, and the FOI. There's nothing else. There's no other model out there for us to follow. And when we get out in the communities, the people are looking at the best of black people. But the reason they fear is because the white man don't like us. And if they feel that that Jesus, that long-awaited brother, that's not a brother at all in their mind, is a Caucasian, and the white man appears to be on the top, and he's got to be related to that Caucasian Jesus, then they got to follow him because they hate themselves, their natural selves, which is by nature a righteous Muslim. So that's part of what I presented, and it wasn't all blacks there, but they agree with the fact of just that word, citizen. We are not citizens by their laws. That's why we can't win in their courts. We are still three-fifths of a human beings to the devil.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for allowing me to share that. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you for sharing.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yeah, cannot, and as he just gave us, cannot and can't, are not and cannot ever be.
No.
We're locked out by their self-definition. But this self-hate, Dr. Wesley, is going right to where I wanted to go. I'm glad Dr. Salam took us there because, as you know, Minister Farrakhan is now teaching openly to the world from the Supreme Wisdom, which at one time was not available unless you were a registered Muslim in the Nation of Islam. And that goes back to your point about decision-making because you are in the FOI, you are in the MGT. You have to decide not to be in it because it's separate or die. And to separate and go with us, you've got to be civilized because separation is, there's a dual separation that's got to take place. There's the separation from the open enemy, the Caucasian, but then the enemy within, which is ourselves. And well, really three, because then there's the internal enemy within the individual. But, you know, we were talking last night about Master Farrar Muhammad referring to the white man as a beast and the black man as a savage.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
And another thing that has to happen with us that we've got to decide about is continuing to be satisfied living among savages, which is our own people.
Right.
But I wanted to hear you talk about, and I know the callers do as well, where the minister addresses directly from the teachings the root of this hate that Dr. Salam is talking about, that culture has failed to overcome.
Yes,
you know, ma'am. I came of age in the whole Ungawa, black power, I'm black and I'm proud, Soul Train, and the giant afros, dashikis, and red, black, and green. And now black women are walking down the street with blonde wigs down to their hips, blue contact lenses. We can't seem to get this out. And so I wanted to get your comments on this process of the killing the darker and saving the lighter.
Yes, ma'am. The Ungawa black power and the Afro was always window dressing a pathology that was never addressed. Pathologies and psychoses that were never addressed. And so the Ungawa black power came and gone, but the pathology, the what I call the ghost of slavery, still haunt us. Our self-hatred is one of the ghosts of slavery. And because we were so-called emancipated, but the damage that was done to us was never redressed. So our ghost, the ghost of slavery, remained with us and remains with us and haunts us, haunts our home, haunts our community, haunts everything we do. And so this is why there is a Trayvon Martin, but there's also a Hadiya Pendleton. And the sad truth of the matter is there's more Hadiya Pendletons than Trayvon Martins. That's because of the self-hatred. And there is always the Trayvon Martins always provoke anger from us. But the Hadiya Pendletons never provoke enough anger from us, because we are, as a people, the biggest, the most pernicious, the most troubling and troublesome ghosts of slavery is that self-hatred that our former slave masters have bred into us. And that the savage, Master Farah Muhammad said, the savage is one who has lost the knowledge of himself and is living a beast life, living the life of the beast, of the white man. The savage, or another name for him, the nigger, I often say, is that Frankenstein made by American white supremacy. And there's Frankensteins that we live among. And until we are fed up, as you said, living among the savages, until we are fed up living among the Frankensteins, until we are as outraged by the Hadiya Pendletons as we are the Trayvon Martins, then we will continue being victimized by these ghosts of slavery.
All praise is due to Allah. Brother Khalifa. Oh, yes, sir. Brother Khalifa, you'll speak soon. Dr. Risley?
Yes, okay.
Brother had the sound on, so.
Oh, okay. Ghosts come out at night.
Yes.
And
yes,
when we had the 2 million men in the light of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the savage was put the was civilized, and the ghosts didn't come out. But when left the presence of the light and got interspersed in the dark again, then the enemy, through his system of frustration and intimidation, causes those ghosts to come up, and we have no place to vent that type of fear except to self. So what they do is they pin a negative vibration on you when you're around them, let's say at the job or at school, and you cannot retaliate, but you internalize, and then you take that back home, and you take it into your nest, and you begin to let out that poison amongst self. So we to have a community that has the light shining all the time on our minds so that we can put those ghosts to sleep.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord's Father.
We've got Brother Khalifa is on the line. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Khalifa. Brother Khalifa.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Khalifa. Wa alaykum as-salam. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
I have just a few comments. The first one I wanted to say is where, from this Trayvon Martin verdict, it has actually emboldened the enemy. And I say that because a week or so ago I was going out here on the highway, Blue Ridge Cutoff, to get a part for my wife's dryer, and I've made several trips out there, and it's a family-owned business by some Caucasians, and I seen no weapon, no gun, or anything. But I went back to get another part because I'm trying to restore this dryer. This Caucasian, young, he's there working with his father. I guess he's about early 30s, had the exact pistol that Zimmerman had, a black holster, 9mm on his hip. And I'm saying to myself, now, isn't this something just from that verdict? He's walking around in his shop now with a pistol on. And then the next point, changing gears a little bit, I wanted to make. I went into this fish shop a few weeks ago, and I always wear one of my shirts about Muhammad made forming cool or either what the Muslims believe, point number 12. And I happened to have on the point number 12 shirt, and it was green shirt with gold writing. And just like we have right across the street from the Final Call building in Chicago, that fish company called Shark, well, it's about two or three of them here in Kansas City. So I went in, and they've got three lost found brothers working in there, and I wanted some motion perch. And so one of the brothers saw my shirt, and he said, "What is that, brother? What the Muslim believe, point number 12. And I turned around where they could read the Bible, where we believe Master Farad appeared in July, on and on and on. And so this Arab is in the back. He said, "Well, brother, you." And so then I put Dr. Wesley on him. I said, "No, prophet said that his God was a shox, you know, meaning a Marduk being a man and whatnot." And he got quiet as a church mouse. He just kind of went back into the little doorway there. So what we got going on here is a whole synergy of this spiritual power that the minister is putting out here. And these talking heads that our people you see on these TV programs, they're so confused because they know that they're slave master. Anytime you put something out there, and if they can find one little crevice to get in there and undermine you, that they'll come out. But they know that since the minister's been out these 29 weeks, time and what must be done, you can't hear one of them say anything out in public. They're so jumbled up and so afraid. But see, this is driving our people that's out here, these talking heads crazy. Well, why ain't the boss saying something? Boss, say something. Say something. It reminds me of the signifying monkey when they had him trapped down in the sand. Said, "If you get up and let me get my testicles out of the sand, I'll get up and fight you like a natural man." And the point that I'm making is that this is driving our people further and further. They're trying to see, well, what you going to do, boss? What you going to do, boss? So this is driving them to the, like the minister said, in 2 or 3 years, you're going to see our people coming in multitudes of numbers because they see everything that they depended on in the enemy's world is collapsing, and they're going to be driven out of being convinced or either just the critical circumstances that's coming up on them. So I feel so good now, brothers and sisters. Praise be to Allah. I feel like set them up, Joe. Bean pies on the house.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Brother Khalifa. Beautiful point.
And I collect
that bean
pie.
Oh, yes.
I know, right. We're collecting.
Well, as he's saying, emboldened in on many levels and many corners among the Caucasians, and they're becoming increasingly divided among themselves,
yes,
openly in front of us. That is something new and different about their behavior. And I love what Brother Khalifa said. Negroes are nervous because they're not getting the direction from the slave master. And the slave master is not exhibiting the confidence and stability that he has in earlier times. And so as the minister said, you're aroused, but you don't know what to do. Even though they're hearing this truth, their fear of it makes them pretend it's not being said.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. If I could comment on Brother Khalifa's point of the emboldening
of white folks today. And as it relates to Brother Dr. Risley's point earlier about Negroes being fearful, well, the fact of the matter is Negroes should be fearful, because if you don't know that God has come for you, then yes, the circumstances that prevail should scare the hell out of you, because white folks are emboldened with license. That Zimmerman verdict sent a very dangerous and, I dare say, scary message that white folks have license to kill our babies.
Yes.
There were a number of incidents post-verdict that indicates that white folks are wasting no time taking advantage of that license. So the fact of the matter is, Negroes, black folks, have every reason to be more fearful today than in the recent past. We in the nation, but the only thing that could keep black folks from being fearful is the knowledge of self and others, knowledge of the fact that God is real and Satan will be sat down. What should keep black folks from being scared, despite the prevailing circumstances, is their knowledge of the time and what must be done. But I am not surprised, and I don't blame black folks who don't know God is real and, has come.
Yes, sir.
I don't blame them for being scared. If they're not scared, it's because either they know God or they not tuned in to what's going on around them.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because this is not anything a spook God can handle.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
Yeah, this renewal of their license, and I think that's key, that we understand what this jury did. And you remember juror B-29, the Puerto Rican sister.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
One of the things she said was, we could not, and it goes back to your point of license, we could not put that man in jail, even though we knew in our hearts he was guilty. Now, when she made that statement, she said we. You know, through most of her interviews, she says I, because she's isolated from them in her viewpoint. But at the end of the day, she indicates, and she said two of the white females voted for manslaughter. And she said all of them had a desire to level some measure of punishment. But she said, we could not put that man in jail. And I raised the question last night, why not? Why did she say that? We could not put him in jail, even though we knew he was guilty. And someone yelled out, the law. And I said, no, not because of the law that's on the books, but the unwritten law of white superiority.
Right, good point.
In
good
this
point.
Paradigm, it is impossible to lock up a white male for murdering a black male. It cannot happen.
Absolutely.
And as you said, Dr. Wesley, now what has happened is what was de facto or happening in fact has now been elevated to de jure or law.
That's right.
It is legal now. And that's why Brother Khalifa saw the man strapped. And they stopped George Zimmerman in Dallas, Texas.
Yesterday and he was strapped.
Speeding. Yes. He had another gun in his glove compartment.
Yeah.
And they have it all on videotape. And the cop, being aware he's being taped, was careful about what he said. Because he asked Zimmerman, he said, well, where are you going? And Zimmerman said, now this is Texas. And Zimmerman said, well, I don't know, or something to that effect. And the officer was like, what do you mean you don't know? You're not sure. He said, don't you see my name? And he looked at it again and said, oh, what a coincidence. He wanted to slap him on the back and shake his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wasn't going to do that because he knows that camera in that cruiser is recording them.
Right.
And so he just simply said to him, well, be careful. Secure your firearm. And then he told him, you know, I'm just giving you a warning about speeding.
Right.
But it just confirms, if we do not have a real God, not a spook God, but a real one, we should be terrified.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Dr.
Yes, sir. In 2005, here in Columbus, Georgia, it was videotaped and put on the internet of a black man named Kenneth Walker being taken out of his car, face down on the pavement on the side of the highway, and shot in the back of the head. And there was never even an indictment. The grand jury did not even bring an indictment against him. There was a big protest march, you know, and then it just kind of went away. So here comes Trayvon Martin. So it's going to happen over and over again until we decide that we are fed up and going to do something about it, which means that we're going to have to pull out and secure ourselves.
And I said, if I may, go ahead, Dr. Abe.
Well, to prove your point, Dr. Rizzi's point, I didn't recall Kenneth Walker. I haven't been mentioning his name in recent talks, though I was appalled and stunned and shocked when it happened. So it just proves the point that it's like being on a merry-go-round or a hamster on a wheel. It just keeps happening over, and we just simply pull it into this, as you said, this pathology, Dr. Wesley, and we just keep going on. And it's never going to change until we separate. But your point, Dr. Wesley.
And I think that I have said then and I say now, we are complicit. We black folks are complicit.
Yes.
And you and Dr. Ridgely just detailed our complicity. The fact of the matter is we keep having faith in this white man in America. And we keep getting burned by him. Every time we go back faithful to him, we bring this back on our heads. We are complicit because we refuse to listen to what that small-framed but huge man from Sandersville, Georgia, said to us about our open enemy, and we are complicit. We are paying the price but ducking and dodging what he said to us and avoiding the solution he gave to us that could have. There's only one thing that could have prevented Trayvon Martin, and the same thing that could have prevented Hadiya Pendleton, separation.
Right.
Because
the
solution that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prescribed for us was a solution that not only got us from under the threat of our external enemy, but it had the necessary prescriptions to take care of our internal enemy, the enemy of self. But we cannot properly deal with the enemy of self within the confines of white American hegemony over all of our institutions.
That's it. We're co-conspirators. We're complicit in this crime. Seven Truth Allah is on the line, coming out of Atlanta. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Dr. Ava. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, I would like to definitely express my eternal love to everyone on the panel, from Dr. Ava, Dr. Wesley, Dr. Ridgely, and Brother Terrence. I am.
That's a lot of love.
I hope I'm not too far off the topic, but it's been in the works, but they're still in Detroit. They are absolutely stealing a city that I grew up and was raised in, and to hear what is going on from every angle, it is very much deep pain. And I do, if I can't scream any louder than anyone, we absolutely need to separate. I can't see no other solution. We need to separate. But I wanted to bring up the points that what they're doing now, they put Mayor Kwame, or former Mayor Kwame, in jail, and the land grab has begun. They are selling off artworks. They are trying to build another hockey stadium. They got people on these media outlets talking about that Detroit's going bankrupt. It's not a financial problem. It is a cultural problem because of the unwed mothers that are having babies out of wedlock, because of the illiteracy that's being passed through the schools that are still open and the ones that they're closed, this decimation of the communities. That's the reason why Detroit is in the shape it's in, is what they are putting out on mainstream media. So from Trayvon, from all these areas and ways that they're coming, and like the brother said, emboldened. They're not even trying to hide what they're doing. They're out and out in the fake. We're going to do whatever we want to do, and who is it to stop us? Who is it to say and come against, almost as if we're reading Revelation, as it was said? Who can make war, not with just anything, but with the beast? And it is, Dr. Wesley, thank you for bringing that point of the absolute term. Who can make war with this beast? And there's nothing else I can say on that.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for Detroit, because if we don't see into what is going on in Detroit and realize that at the root of the madness that Allah is offering that city to the people it belongs to, which is us,
yes,
then we have completely missed it. It goes back to being complicit in our own destruction.
Yes.
Detroit, Michigan, is where Master Farag Muhammad met the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And those of us who say we believe the truth of these teachings, either we do or we don't. Now, white people, how would Jews, how would Chinese or anybody handle a city where their savior came and raised up from among them as they languished in hell, and raised up one and elevated him to go face, as Brother Seven Truth Allah just said, who has now the power and is making war with the beast. And we're not laying claim. Allah has emptied out the city. And Detroit's condition proves, as I say all the time, we call something black erroneously. We say something's black because a lot of black people are there. Detroit had a lot of black people and still has a lot of black people living there, but they don't own or control anything.
Right.
Those of us who understand truth have to go in there. And you can believe, you can trust and believe all of those hyenas will back up out of there. But again, we have to make up our mind. Dr. Ridley said it. Trayvon was murdered because we don't have a community. We're all over the place.
Yep.
And if we had a place where we could be secure, even when we leave that place, it would be a deterrent because the enemy would know there's a home base.
Yes.
That this young man has, that if I harm him, something may come up out of that base that I don't want to have to face. But when when you're rootless and homeless like we are, and that's why the messenger said we must have some land, what, to call our own.
That's right.
And so the minister went there. He went to Detroit.
And as you talk about, and as you talk about Detroit, here the enemy knows that Master Farah Muhammad came to the messenger there, and we were had a great growth there in Detroit, Chicago, New York City, and he saw that growth. Then he's put forth a plan to move industry out of the cities and to leave us with a dried-up shell. So we have to develop industry on our own, which means that we're going to have to control our buying habits. Because in the end, the power is in the consumer, and the power of the consumer is in his head. And the enemy controls the head through the media and through the music and entertainment. So we can turn things around if we can turn our head around, and the economic blueprint that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us, and now being brought back by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, has got to turn our head around so that we can move our behinds in the right direction so that we can support the type of businesses that can rebuild a city. Because in the end, you got to have jobs, you got to have products, you got to have sales of products, and we are so intermured with the brand names of the enemy that we will forsake our own products because it does not have the white man's brand labeled on it. So it's a mind game that we must switch. And it's only the teachings of Abu Elijah Muhammad, an example of the Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we thank him for the time of what must be done so that some of us will catch on fire and make a way for the rest. Because we, as a nation, are the leaders, whether we like it or not, it's up to us. We can't depend on the dead to move. We have to move for them and then gather ourselves together and get them to follow us once we have made our move.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yes, sir.
So I want to jump in here, Dr. Avery, and I want to ask you and Dr. Wesley a question. We know that the greatest knowledge is the knowledge of self, the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of our open enemy. So the question I want to ask you, Dr. Avery, and then you, Dr. Wesley, what value of the example of Minister Farrakhan is it to black people? And I preface that statement by saying that to Dr. Wesley, can you expound on the black man being God, not from the theoretical state of everybody saying the black man is God, but from the actual history of us on the planet? A reason why I'm saying these questions, as we look at this white man in this sphere, because we know that the white man has been made a God unto God. So we see him as God. We see them as God. So we have fear because we don't see any greater power than them. So that's why I want Dr. Avery to talk about, when we talk about the last man standing, Minister Farrakhan, how powerful is his representation and what that does for the psyche of every black man that sees him, because they see a man who is defying the God that black people see, and also the concept of the black man being God from your research, Dr. Wesley, to help us see how we can do what Master Farah Muhammad did when he taught 25,000. I hope that makes sense.
I'd like to it does, and I'm glad you raised it, and I want to defer to Dr. Wesley as time is ticking, and ask, because this is so critical, going back to the self-hate issue, that we get a better understanding of how, what is the supporting evidence for your position, which you developed to support the teachings that the black man is God.
Yes. You know, the more we understand the black man is God on an intellectual level, before the more we come to terms with the empirical reality of the black man being God, the more we fall in love with Louis Farrakhan. I have, by law, as an historian of religion, studying religions of the world for the last 23 years, I've been blessed to compile a whole bunch of critical data that makes it clear that, for example, though the disbelievers be adverse, that book, the Bible, is a book of the black God. If you got a problem with the black God, the man God, then you need to walk away from the Bible. Same thing with the Quran. We can go all around the world from ancient Timid to ancient Sumer, ancient India. All of the civilizations of the ancient world that baffle us today, they were all anchored in the conviction that God is not just a man, but a black man. But this is the kicker for me. While I fell in love with the teaching, the black man is God, upon hearing it for the first time in the cafeteria at Morehouse College, when I heard it, the first time I heard it, I fell in love with it. But it would take years of crazy intense research before I was convinced of the academic truth of it. But even having the empirical data, there is nothing like seeing the truth of man as God walk before you in flesh. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he is the living witness to us that man is God. Here I was, you know, at recent MUI graduation. My 8-year-old was blessed, I'm sorry, 8th grader, 13-year-old, was blessed to graduate 8th grade at MUI last month, and was blessed to be there, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was there, and I was with family and friends, and a sister who was there, friend of family. She's empathic, you know, she is sensitive to feeling, and she brought it to my attention, even though we were on the total opposite side of Mas Maryam, where the minister was. He was tucked away in the corner. But his energy was so strong that, you know, because in fact it disturbed her. That's the energy of a man God. You know, you can, everybody's frequency is different. Farrakhan's frequency is the frequency of a man God. So while I had the empirical data built up over 23 years of the reality of the black man is God, and can go in any situation, I can go to a church by God's grace and teach the black man is God. I can go to a mosque. I can go to a Sikh temple. I can go to any of these houses of God and teach the black man is God from their sources. But my conviction derives from my witnessing Louis Farrakhan. He is a living illustration that man is God. That's why I love him so.
Wow. Wow. Phenomenal. And God is God is what's the definition of God? From your
being of power and force. And I think we really have to get our mind around that fact without understanding that that's the fundamental definition of God, then we get thrown off track by a lot of misunderstanding. When we say Master Farah Muhammad is God in person, when we say the black man is God, when we mention gods in the plural, when Honorable Elijah Muhammad speaks of gods, we are not violating La ilaha illallah. We're not violating the Islamic principle that there is no ilah but God. Because ilah actually in Arabic doesn't translate well as God. Ilah is actually a legitimate object of worship. So la ilaha illallah is there is no legitimate object of worship but Allah. But it, not that there is no God. The white man is a God. He's a being of power or force. But he's not a legitimate object of worship. So recognizing that there is a, that God is fundamentally a being of power and force, and there's a hierarchy among gods. Some gods are more powerful than others, but none are legitimate objects of worship, only Allah.
Well, I'd like to thank Brother Dr. Wesley, because I've never heard that broken down before. And
right,
I appreciate him for breaking
processing.
That down, when it gets down to the language, and we can see why Minister Farrakhan has taught us that there's deviation in Mecca, because they're not breaking that down correctly, and I thank Brother Wesley for breaking that down correctly for us.
Because we've been enslaved by spookism.
That's right.
Yes,
what you just gave us is so profound. And really, when you think about what came in my mind as you were teaching is none is worthy of worship. Except Allah. And
that's
so
right.
I love what you just said. The white man is a god. God is force and power.
Power, yes, ma'am.
And Yaqub.
And the minister keeps saying he's the God
of
this
world.
This world, not the
that's
world.
Right.
He
but he's not in the lie. He's not a legitimate object of worship.
And that's the break right
that's the
enslavement. That's the break.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
Stop
yes,
worshiping
ma'am.
Him.
Yes,
well,
ma'am.
He is not worthy.
Let us understand our religion. Because, you know, la ilaha illallah, we always say there is no God but Allah. But is that, if that is not the correct translation,
no.
then we don't even understand our own religion.
Yes, yes.
And as you said, it's difficult because English is so inferior to Arabic.
It is, it is. It can't accommodate the nuance of meaning in the Arabic.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So it doesn't even have to be intentional, you know,
right.
and it's
Absolutely.
Why the
Absolutely.
Minister
Absolutely.
Keeps saying, and we're teaching it in MUI, and it is so beautiful to have Imam Sultan Rahman with us, because
yes, it is.
That's the next thing we've got to think about is with seriousness about language, because it is limiting us.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
Because
yes.
it limits our ability to express our thoughts in their fullness.
Absolutely.
If in the beginning was the word, and yet we don't understand the word, then how can we have power?
We're in prison. We're in prison. Language can be a prison and the key.
That's right.
Right. Well, I'm going to go to the phones. Believe it or not, we're down to 30 minutes. And we have Sister Rachel, and I think that's Arizona, and she was holding last week. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Rachel.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for calling back.
Yes, now, praise be to Allah. Ramadan Mubarak, everyone.
Ramadan
Kareem. Okay, I'm so excited. Yes, now, I'm just so excited to get online because, man, I just had a question. And then when Brother Wesley got on, I said, okay, I don't even know if I want to ask this no more.
That's
why you're here. You're increasing
knowledge by asking your question.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, this is related to Trayvon Martin still, and I just wanted to get your perspective, both everyone on the panel, about the fact that, because I know you've probably heard that Trayvon Martin's father was also a Mason, and that he could have had some part of sacrificing his son due to him wanting to be successful in something that he's doing in some type of career field that he has. And I was thinking to myself, should we look at this the same way, or should we entertain the situation the same, because it is something that could be a conspiracy theory. So I was just wanted to ask, do you think that we should look at this the same, even if it is, I understand the child's life has been taken, and I'm really, I don't like that. But what about the part about this conspiracy theory and that his father could have had a hand in his death?
If I may, I was hot as a black man and as a father of a black boy. I was pissed when I saw that report. I was pissed at the black folks who posted that report. A couple of things. One,
this is the first time hearing it.
If he was a Mason, so what? If he was a Mason, he was a black Mason. And black Masons don't have no power. Black Masons are not in no conspiracy. That's not Illuminati. That's a social group. So I have no problem with Mr. Martin being a Mason. To see, that's part of the craziness in the so-called conscious community. This whole Illuminati, not the real Illuminati, but the fabricated boogeyman Illuminati. And to put black Masons in the Illuminati speaks to one's ignorance of the Masons and the Illuminati. But to even bring that up,
come on,
it's disrespectful.
Yes,
and
sir.
To me, that was the lowest point that we in the so-called conscious community reached with this Illuminati conspiracy thing. This black man is grieving the loss of his son. And we're going to raise that crap. It is crap. I don't know if he's a Mason or not. It's irrelevant. If he's a Mason, he's a black Mason, and they don't have no conspiratorial power.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay.
And Dr. Salam raised last week, Dr. Salam raised that if anybody was involved in some sort of ritual or, if you remember Dr. Rich, he brought up the possibility that Zimmerman may have been being initiated into one of these white supremacist gangs, who require that you kill a black man as part of their initiation.
Right.
That sounds more probable
to
me.
That's authentic. Right.
Right. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Because, you got to look at patterns of behavior. And that's the point of understanding, as the minister's clip brought out, as the minister was saying, this has happened to us as long as we've been here. They haven't skipped a beat. They do this all the time. It's not even like there's some, like there was a generation where they didn't do it. They've been killing us from day one.
Absolutely.
And again, we allow ourselves to be turned on one another because we're afraid of dealing with the enemy.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, we would prefer. That's another thing. See, whoever brought that up, that's a coward, because they don't want to deal with the open, true enemy.
That's right.
So to justify being a coward, what about his father?
Right.
That's an excellent point.
That's that self-hatred that you spoke of, Dr. Ava. We always turn it on ourselves. It's that fear of the white God and that self-hatred.
That's right.
And thank you, Sister Rachel, for that, because it gave us a chance to know about that and to quell that.
It riled us up real good.
Thank you. I want to thank you for clearing that up, because, you know, it had came up in a discussion with me and some other individuals who are also conscious-minded, but this is the thing. They were saying that this could have been, and we were saying that we wouldn't have wanted to believe something like that, but sometimes you have to ask and think about, you know, the fact
I'm glad you asked.
I'm glad
you asked. Final point on that note. See, that type of thing does a great injustice to those of us who know there are conspiracies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The white man is conspiratorialist. There are real demonic conspiracies throughout history.
That's right.
When we promote the silly conspiracies, it makes it easy for thinking people to dismiss conspiracies wholesale. And it makes it hard for us to make the real case that the white man is conspiratorial. He is. He does his dirt through conspiracy. So we have an obligation to be critical in our approach to the subject of conspiracies. Don't promote the silliness, because it makes it hard for us to convince the world of the devilishment of Satan, because most of his devilishment he does through conspiracies. Not all of it. He's our open enemy, but too much of it he does through conspiracy, and we have to make that case, and we can make that case, but that case is shot down before we even get there, because the atmosphere is polluted with all of this silliness.
Yes, sir.
And that goes back to my original point of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of self, and the devil, because one of the things that we have to be very clear on that Dr. Wesley just so eloquently said is that one of the things that we can't get caught up, we got to really understand who the enemy is. You know, the whole issue of conspiracy, the enemy uses us just as they use blackface, but the blackface is not the true enemy. We have to know and be clear on who the enemy is when we are going after the enemy, and understand who the enemy is. And you have to also understand the nature and the heart of the black man and woman. We are by nature a loving people, a righteous people. So some of the acts, and as the minister is talking about the nature of the white man and the nature in which he was created, the nature of murder, lies, and killing, it is in his nature to sacrifice. It is in his nature to kill. It is not our nature to do that to our own. These are not rituals that we practice in our secret lodges.
These are
the nature and the lodges that they do in their ways and actions, in their secret lodges. This is not the way of the black man and woman here. So we have to be very clear on that. And even if it was a conspiracy, where did he get that from, and why would he do it unless it was from a greater group that wants in this whole conversation that we need to talk about Illuminati? Jay-Z, Beyonce are flunkies when it comes to Illuminati. They are nowhere near in pay grade to be Illuminati.
Sir.
When you are in your society, you are not seen by the masses of the people. You are not known by the masses of the people. You would not even be seen, and you don't have a pay grade to even know their names and get to them because of the conspiracy that they control this planet. So we have to be very clear when we get in our amateur understanding of Illuminati, and understand Dr. Weston can teach and Dr. Richard can teach
Sister Ava can teach on who are the true illuminated people when your third eye is open based off these teachings
that the minister has given us.
You will be illuminated. That's why this show is called Elevated Places. We are the Illuminati.
Absolutely.
We are those that are illuminated with the divine wisdom of the true and living God, Master Farad Muhammad. So these just-come-lately so-called Jews, just-come-lately so-called Illuminati people stole that from studying from us. Be very clear on that. So those that want to be scholars, do your scholarship.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Sister Rachel, for raising that up. I'm glad you asked the question. I would have hated for you to not ask that question. We needed to discuss that.
Yeah,
because
that's disrespectful to Mr. Martin. To clear it. That's exactly right. I love that's the purpose of the show, to ask real questions. But
we got to
get to Brother Muhammad in Dallas because he's been on the line for almost an hour. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad. Thank you for your patience.
Well, alaikum salam, family. Can you hear me?
Ramadan Mubarak. Yes, we can.
Ramadan
yes,
Kareem.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Sister, that lecture that you gave 2 weeks ago, that wasn't you. Allah moved you over and spoke through you, sister. I just want to acknowledge your perfection in that area.
Yes, sir.
The real hero that has been lost in this Trayvon charade has been the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
He started this series of lectures, The Time and What Must Be Done, because he saw this coming. Now, he's so humble, he's not going to tell us that. He's not going to beat his chest.
Right.
He's not going to even imply, I told you so.
Come on.
And the problem is Negroes refuse to see. I was going to say can't, but they can see it. So Allah made me change the word to Negroes refuse to see the divinity and acknowledge the divinity of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And Elijah Muhammad told us what he's doing. He's getting us over the river, and he's not saying, look what I've done.
That's right.
He's saying, look what Allah has done. This is a man that has done this divine work for 60 years. Let's make a comparison. You can't find a nigger or a Negro to do something for 60 days these days.
That's right.
Come on,
and
brother.
So,
come on, let's be real.
So he's a hero that has been lost. And see, there are two keys to life. You're either living for yourself or you're dying for somebody else. The other one is what you tolerate, you become.
Yeah.
And that's Negroes' problem. They tolerating white folks. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, we express ourselves in terms of white folks, and it's killing us.
Mm-hmm.
The man who summed up this Trayvon situation best was Stevie Wonder. In the 80s, he had a song, Skeletons in Your Closet. He said in that song that you're crying over the victim, but the culprit is Y-O-U. The culprit is black, is not Zimmerman. The culprit is black people tolerating the devil and his evil. And we keep buying into it. We keep buying into the system of white supremacy. What does Hosea 4:6 teach us? That black people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. What knowledge do we not have? We don't know. The highest knowledge, like you said, is the knowledge of self. When you don't have knowledge of self, you do not know the difference between a trial and a play. You don't know the difference between a trial and a circus. That wasn't no trial.
Go ahead.
Was a play or a circus.
That's right.
When I was 4 years old, and I stole candy out of the store. When I got caught, I was called on the witness stand, and I had to say why I did what I did. When I kicked a classmate in fourth grade, before I got my paddle, I had to say what I did. I had to face the music. That boy, George Zimmerman, like Sister said, he's a coward. He didn't even have to face the music for his actions. And another way we know is a play is when they roll women jurors out. Where have we seen this before? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that would happen because, like Sister Ava referred to, his last trick would be to offer you his woman. And these are the same white women that prepared picnic baskets for lynchers and lynch mobs.
That's right. That's what they do.
These are the same white women that is why black kids hate their parents nowadays, because Brother Nuri said in a lecture months or years ago, 90 to 95% of teachers in the school are white women.
Come on.
You see? And so Negroes want to ask, why is the devil killing us instead of seeing how God is healing us?
Right. Yes, sir.
They don't want to. They refuse to acknowledge the divinity of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us in the 80s, he said, all the white man wants from you is to maintain a master-slave relationship. The time and what must be done is the immunity and the medicine to stop lynching. It's the only medicine that can stop lynching.
That's right.
Like
That's right.
this from happening. See, he.
Right.
See,
yes,
time.
Sir. But, Brother Muhammad, we're going to have.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
We got
yes,
to move on.
Yes, beloved.
We need to. I guess we have to do a 3-hour show when Dr. Wesley comes back next month. Because we want him every month if he has time. Because he attracts the most brilliant among us. And you know, you're one of those
praise
people I get notes from. But thank you, Brother Muhammad.
Thank you, sister.
And Brother Dr. Wesley, do you have any comments on
A couple about these white women.
Sir.
Very beautiful point. See, one thing that came out of the Zimmerman verdict is it brought us back to reality, right? Because white women voted with us for Barack Obama, we forgot that the son of perdition had a daughter, right? We thought that the man of sin meant there wasn't a woman of sin. We thought the white woman had become our friend because she voted with us for President Obama. And so now we're reminded that with the son of perdition, there is a daughter of perdition. And the second point I want to make, as we talk about the godhood, the divinity of the Honorable Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan, let's be clear. He, too, is not an elect. He is not an object of worship. He is a God. We recognize his godhood, one, because only a blind fool could fail to recognize it. But the significance of his godhood is it's a signal to our own godhood and a roadmap to achieve our godhood. But let's be clear to the listeners as we talk about the godhood and the divinity of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We are not Farrakhan worshipers. He's not in the
right.
We are Farrakhan followers because we want to be where he is. As he is living his godhood, we too want to live our godhood. So we follow him as a guide to get us to the destination that we should be, accept our own and be ourselves.
Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, we're coming down on 15 minutes, and we've got also put an
now we're on hold our beloved Brother Joseph from Baton Rouge. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Joseph.
Hi, sister.
All right. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. And I want to say to your guests as well, Dr. Ridley, Dr. Wesley, and Brother Sharon. Give y'all the greetings. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Right, yes, I ain't going to be long because I know the time is running. But, I mean, it's like y'all putting it where it should be at. I mean, we have the better place, no better to teach us, and no better teacher than you all and our beloved brother, the honorable member, Louis Farrakhan. The separation, it got to take place. And nothing going to be good till we separate from this white man and his world.
That's right.
During the time of what must be done. He's doing 52 weeks. Why not 54? Why not 55 weeks? So I went into the Quran. The 52nd surah is entitled The Mountain. On high, where the middle is at. 5 and 2 is 7. The 7th verse of the 52nd surah read, quote, the chastisement of thy Lord will surely come to pass.
Oh, wow.
That's the 7th surah of the 52nd surah entitled The Mountain. I mean, after the 2 weeks, the chastisement of thy Lord will come to pass. May I bless everybody. I said I wasn't going to be long. I wanted to say that and ask
you
a lot.
You said a mouthful. Wow.
Yes, ma'am. Appreciate it. Dr. Ridley, I'm going to come and see you at the farm, brother. Me and Brother Lewis.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, but I got to come down. And we need to come in and go on. That thing going. We thank you. May Allah bless everybody. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam. Well, you know,
real quick, the minister is taking a much needed break from. I hate to use the word schedule to describe what this year has been, and we all know. And none of us know at all. That's the amazing thing. You know, we're like planets orbiting around the sun or stars. We just can't fathom all that he is engaged in in salvation of our people. From individual helping individuals to helping organizations to going into nations and guiding heads of state. But we will be hearing over the next 3 weeks the Savior's Day message of 2013, the economic liberation message. And it just brought to my mind listening to Brother Joseph and how he shared with us and pointed us to 52:7, that we don't know is the point. Right. We just need to be grateful for what we're getting and do our best to demonstrate gratitude for it through our actions. And that's
ma'am.
All I have to say on that.
Yes, ma'am.
But and believe it or not, we got Brother Lewis. Brother Lewis is on following Brother Joseph. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Lewis.
Wa alaykum salam, family. How y'all doing?
Fine.
Can you hear me?
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good. I'll be very brief and could you please announce the meeting in Houston, when it's going to be, what time, and when you and Dr. Ridley are going to be in Houston so that people in the South who want to come might be able to participate, and I'll call in with my comments next week. And please, everybody,
yes,
promote this show. Promote this show.
And I thank you for your promotion. Well, alaykum salam, Brother Lewis. I thank you for always keeping us up to date and blessing us with inspired thoughts. And, of course, the Nation of Islam Student Association's Youth Summit is August 9th through 11th in Houston, Texas. And, yes, and we are looking forward to that event. Yes, because this is the next generation that's coming up that's going to take this to the next level. And so in addition to the workshops and all of the sources of information that one will find there, there's going to be a concert. We have so much talent in our youth, in the nation, and in brothers and sisters who are blessed with artistic skills, and they're clean, so that our people can be reintroduced to civilized behavior and yet enjoy ourselves. So that's August 9th through the 11th in Houston, Texas. Brother Wesley, well, first let me
yes,
go. We've got Brother Alterik has really all the callers now have been on a long time. But Brother Alterik, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum salam, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I have said Ramadan Mubarak and assalamu alaikum. And I'll say this as far as a comment, that knowledge and right knowledge enables the bearer of that knowledge to overcome obstacles, barriers, resistance, and helps one individually or collectively to overcome their fears. And I know it says in the scriptures that fear of man brings a snare. And the fear of us with white people, you know, that has definitely snared us since we've been on the shores here of America. And I know it teaches in a nation that organization is as important as truth. So when things happen to us and we organize for, you might as well say, a few minutes, and thing goes back to things as usual, that's not true organization.
That's right.
So if we can't come together and build as a people, then we'll die apart. And it just gets so frustrating to know and to see how our people behave, as y'all have said earlier, as savage. You know, savage is one who's not civilized. You know, and it's just so hard when you see these things going on, the Trayvons, and especially when you're older and you're in your 40s and stuff like that, and you still see this happening now in the 2000s, you know, and you're like, when will this stop? But the only time it will stop is when we come together. But fear is so entrenched in us that it's hard to break loose of that fear. And I know what y'all said is right about separation. I know what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and now today the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, we have to separate. When you're in an individual situation and a person is treating you wrong, after a while, even if you love them, you have to let them go to save yourself.
Exactly.
And that's right. Individual or collective in our situation as a people. So if we know this and understand this, then we must do it, because time permits that we do it. And the treatment that we got within that time should permit us and give us the courage to do it. But that is our dilemma. We must either do for self or perish, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us from day one through the teachings of the master, of a master Farah Muhammad. And that's all I have to say, because
yes,
I know y'all have to go. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a beautiful way to thank you. Walaikum salam, Brother Alterik. And that's a beautiful way to start winding down it's nothing else, the treatment, the continuous treatment of us. The man that kidnapped those girls in Cleveland and held them for
right.
10 years was
right.
sentenced today to life plus 1,000 years. And in the course of his sentence, actually blamed them.
Right.
When he spoke to the court, he actually put the blame on them. He said that sometimes the sex was, he doesn't recognize it as rape. He said sex. And he said it was consensual, you know, and he talked in terms of their ability to have, in so many words, gotten away, if that's what they wanted. Wow. And he referred to himself as an addict. He said he has a problem. He said, I'm like any drug addict. I'm ill. And really, that's what they will say about us, you know, to God, to Allah. You know, and in fact, it's in the Quran when the devil said, I had no authority
over
you.
That's exactly right. Right.
I only called you and you came. You know, and they will say that to Master Farr when the ship comes and just before they explode. You know, please, just let, I mean, look, it wasn't our fault. You know, we were made in a laboratory. You know, our nature is technology. We can't help it.
Right.
You know, we didn't make ourselves. One of your scientists made us. And, you know, and these people you love so much, they chose to. I mean, we freed them. And
they could have left.
They should have left.
That's right. They must not be your children because you're following me.
Exactly. Exactly. And see, the only cure for inferiority is separation, because being with and among your own 24/7 strengthens you. And I think all of you alluded to that in different ways earlier.
Yeah.
You know, and as you brought us tonight, Dr. Wesley, force and power, that comes from clusters. You know, that's how you get a liver and a kidney. Not one cell, but clusters of cells.
Absolutely. Good point.
Intelligent cells, you know, coming together to perform a function. And it's not going to get done by ourselves, as Brother just said. We're going to remain in fear, because when you're alone, it fosters that sense of inferiority from which that fear is stemming. So until we are away from these people, we are not going to change.
And, you know, before you make a move, you get the family together and you talk about it and you discuss the trip. So we got to now start these separation councils, or whatever we want to call it, but we have to take these callers who's calling on the line here who are awake and put us together in some type of form to do some planning on how we're going to get out of here.
That's exactly right. And stop talking about jobs and justice and changing laws. That's history now. That's over.
Absolutely.
Dr. Wesley Muhammad, we're down to 2 minutes. If you can give us a closing thought to take with us, you've given us a lot of pearls tonight. Diamonds.
Well,
platinum.
Praise belongs to Allah. I have to reiterate, and if I had the opportunity to reiterate it 1,000 times, it would be genuine, every one. I'm honored that they're able to be on your show. You are one of my heroes. You remain one of my heroes in Islam. And so whenever I can partner with you and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, it's a tremendous honor. Thank you for having me on. And whenever you call, I will be there. This is the great and dreadful day. We must be in tune with the time and what must be done. It's great because the time and what must be done is being made crystal clear to all of us on a weekly basis by the Honorable Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that, I think, illustrates the dual disposition of that description, great and dreadful. It's very dreadful, this day that we're living in right now. If we are not connected to God through his man. If we are, then it's a very great day.
Oh, praise is due to Allah. Well, thank you, Dr. Wesley Muhammad.
Thank you, Dr.
Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, the Elevated Places team, Brother Bobby, Sister LaDonna, Sister Rona, and the callers, the listeners, the members of the Elevated Places family who share their brilliance, their research, their thoughts, every single one of you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all...